Let us pray. Holy God, we have heard your voice. We hear it speaking to us through the scriptures. And we pray that now that as we reflect upon it, that we might hear your call and trust it to go for you. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. A passenger got into a cab, and they told the cabbie where he wanted to go, and they started off. And it was a lot of traffic, so he was wondering how long it would take to get to where he wanted to go. And so he just kind of leaned forward and tapped the cabbie on the shoulder to get his attention. And the cabbie just jumped so much that he almost crashed the cab into a local storefront. For a few moments, everything was silent. And then the shaking driver said, "Are you okay? I'm so sorry, but you scared the daylights out of me." And the badly shaken passenger apologized to the driver, said, "I didn't realize that a mere tap on the shoulder would startle someone so badly." The driver replied, No. I'm the one who's sorry. It's entirely my fault. Because, you see, for today is my first day driving a cab. I've been driving a hearse for 25 years. There are a lot of times that we all have been scared. It's being scared or frightened is a normal human response when we experience something that is frightening or so out of the ordinary that we can't understand it. But why is Peter so frightened of Jesus when they pull the big catch of fish? The capitalist in us would think that Peter would not want to let Jesus out of his sight. Any good fisherman will tell you, a person who knows where the fishermen are is worth their weight in gold. You can almost hear the fear in Peter's words. "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." So why is he so scared? After listening to this man, Jesus, Simon recognized something. Jesus was different. One of the things that we often hear about in the Gospels is how when Jesus spoke, whether it was in his home synagogue or someplace else, people were amazed at his words. He taught differently than the scribes and the Pharisees. He had a sense of integrity about him. Jesus was different. He was set apart. And when we say that someone is set apart, we're saying that they're sacred. There's a sacredness about them. They're different than everyone or everything else. And Simon did not know what it was about this preacher, but all of a sudden he listened to him, and then he'd been fishing all night, hadn't caught a thing. And so then Jesus says, "Hey, go out, put out in the deep water, let your nets down." "Oh, Master, we've been fishing all night. We're tired. We didn't catch a thing." They do it, and the net almost breaks with the load of fish they haul in. Simon knew that Jesus was different. He was set apart. He was special. And that scared him. He was a sinner. Just like Isaiah was. He says, "Oh my gosh, I've seen the Lord. I'm going to die. I'm a sinner. I live with humans, among humans." And the seraph brings the hot coal to purify him. Simon was a sinner. But Jesus was sacred. And then Jesus baffles everyone, including Simon, and calls Simon to follow him. Now what's baffling about that is, in the process, Jesus is making Simon sacred. He's setting him apart for a special task. And he calls Simon and us to follow him. Now Simon will have the sacred task of calling people to follow Jesus, to tell people about Jesus. And I almost think that would, when really before Simon had a chance to think about it, or all that might have almost been like a tap on the shoulder of a former hearse driver. Melissa Bain Sevier, in a blog on the Luke passage entitled, You Never Know What You'll Get, writes about Peter and us. She says about Simon, later he'd learn he would have to help feed huge crowds that he thought had been sent should be sent home for lunch. He would have to try to get over his own prejudice and figure out how to incorporate Gentiles into the faith, overcome the guilt of betrayal, face his own death as a martyr. Since he had reason to be afraid. She goes on to say, to be honest, we have reason to fear too. If we ever thought having faith would make life a cinch, it doesn't take long to get over that idea. God calls us to love, and sometimes love ends badly. God calls us to give, and sometimes our gifts are rejected. God calls us to welcome the stranger, and sometimes the stranger is stranger than we expected. God shows us how to fish for people, to care for them, to nurture them. Sometimes those people leave or are taken from us or they hurt us. Fishing for people is no afternoon of drifting on the lake. And yet we all are called to fish for people. That is a part of our calling as Christians. Utilizing the gifts that God has given us to do so. Well, as I said to Cheyenne, we're called to advertise. And today, just as it was in the days of Simon, of Peter, it's not an easy task. We worry that others may not think like us. We worry that they might not stay, as we experienced in the past couple of weeks. We worry that people might ask why they should believe in God, and that we wouldn't know what to tell them. There are lots of reasons to be afraid of fishing for people. But does that mean we shouldn't do it? God's calling us to feed people. In many ways, that's the same as fishing for them, in my book. At least in the way I fish. Because when I fish, I generally feed the fish more than I catch them. Jesus is calling Peter and us to feed people with hope, with kindness, with love. That's how he fished for people. That's how he got people to follow him. Today, once again, we're offering a concert of beautiful music. It's free to feed people's souls and spirits. Sure, as I said, we ask for donations. But we don't kick them out if they don't make a donation. We invite people to experience a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and all the chances people need. A God who calls everyone beloved. That's what we offer to others if we advertise it well. This is expressed through a family of faith that welcomes, cares for, and feeds people in different ways. Literally feeds people. And more metaphorically. In just a few minutes, we're going to install our new church offices. But they need each and every one of us to step up and do our part. It's not just their job to fish for people. It's our whole church family's job. To do it for not only the church, but to do it for God. So yes, it can be scary. But you know, it can be enlivening. It can be emboldening. It can also just be fun. So let us fish for people. Amen.